fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
When it comes to being overweight or obese, Western Australians are the heaviest we've ever been, and we're getting heavier. The rates for being overweight or obese are also on the rise among children. The good news is there's a lot you can do to change things for your children and your family. Even small changes made now could make a big difference in the future. Joining us to explain this further is paediatric consultant for the Department of Health, Dr. Lana Bell. Dr. Lana Bell, how are you doing?
Hi, Simon. I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, glad to have you here. So what are the statistics on obesity in WA for children?
They're not pretty, to be honest. At the moment, unfortunately, about a third of children are either overweight or obese. It did sort of plateau off for a little while, about 10 years ago, but we've never seen any decreases.
Wow.
And unfortunately, seems to be getting worse again in the last 5 years or so.
Sure. What do you think has pushed this rise?
Oh, look, I think it's multifactorial. There are a lot of different things going on. We all know that we're much more sedentary than people were sort of 20, 50, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Much more exposure to screen time, a lot less sleep, and, of course, a lot more readily available high-calorie foods. So many different factors come into play, and that can make it hard to tackle them as well because it's not just one easy fix solution.
Yeah, sleep's interesting as well. You don't often kind of associate. I guess I always put an emphasis on exercise or diet. But I guess sleep is important as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're finding not only are people getting less sleep, but they're getting poorer quality sleep, mainly because we're getting exposed to backlit screens, iPhones, electronic devices. A lot of kids, when they do go to sleep, have disrupted their sleep-wake cycle. So they're going to sleep in the early hours of the morning, perhaps, and wanting to sleep in. And we know that when we do mess with our sleep-wake cycle, it not only predisposes further to weight gain, it also predisposes to insulin resistance, which can lead to diabetes. So you're right, the traditional messages are about exercise and diet, which are important, but sleep's very important too.
And why is being overweight and obesity, why is this such a health concern, especially in regards to children?
Yeah, so I spend a lot of my day reframing overweight and obesity because most people consider it in a sexual context, which can be appropriate, but can also lead to feelings of guilt and discrimination and a lot of negative emotions.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's the medical issues which are most interesting to me, and those are the ones that we need to avoid if we're going to lead healthy, long lives. The main ones that come up in children are the same ones that come up in adults, unfortunately. Mm. Things like type 2 diabetes that we only ever used to see in your older adult population are now happening in children. So we have kids as young as 3 and 4 who were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
3 and 4.
Yeah, I know. High cholesterol, heart disease, things like sleep apnea, and, of course, joint disease as well, because when little kids have a lot of excess weight pushing on growing joints and growing bones, that can be easily damaged or even just bend under the weight.
Wow. And like I also kind of, when I was researching for this one, I came across the term pre-diabetes. And I actually hadn't heard of that before. Can you explain what that's all about?
So in relation to type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes is when, when we were older, we used to become slower and not eat so well. Insulin begins to not work so well in the body. But unfortunately, that pre-diabetes, where the insulin's still there but it's not working so well in the body, that's happening at younger and younger age groups too. So in our clinic at Princess Margaret, we're picking up these children who don't yet have their type 2 diabetes, but they're heading down that pathway. The positive news about pre-diabetes is that if you intervene at that point, it is reversible and you can get the insulin to become working more efficiently again.
Really?
And move away from type 2.
Great. Yeah. Sweet. This morning on The Mag, we're speaking with paediatric consultant for the Department of Health, Dr. Lana Bell, about childhood obesity and diabetes. So we can avoid it if we catch it in that pre-diabetes stage.
Yeah. So basically, the earlier that children are referred for management of their weight, the earlier that we can intervene to avoid complications. So if we have children who are 2, 3, 4 years old, it's much easier to intervene at that point than if we have children who've already gone through puberty in their teenage years.
Mm.
We know that at that point, the metabolic pathways become much more entrenched. So it's not just about diet and exercise. It's about setting your metabolism up for these difficulties, which get much more difficult to reverse at those older ages. I think when kids are young, the tendency is to dismiss it and say, oh, it's puppy fat, for example, or,
yes,
you know, your child will grow out of it. We really see the opposite of that, which is if we address the problem and approach it at that point, we avoid a lot more problems later in life.
Yeah. Well, what are some indicators, apart from kind of perhaps being overweight, that, you know, parents could look out for?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. For diabetes in itself, type 2 diabetes, one of the issues is discoloration of the skin wherever it folds. So that condition is called acanthosis nigricans, which is a really big long Latin word that just means discoloration and thickening of the skin. And you can most often see it under the arms or around the neck. And a lot of parents think it's dirt and try to scrub it away, but it's not dirt. It's a darkening of the skin due to high insulin, which is a warning sign. So that's one thing parents can look out for. The other thing is just to be aware of your own family and what your family history entails, because if grandma got type 2 and mum or dad did, or maybe mum had gestational diabetes, then these would all be warning signs that the children might be at risk of type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, okay, cool. And what can families do to manage their child's diabetes or pre-diabetes once it's kind of been recognised?
First off is your GP. So recognition is the most important point. A lot of parents, up to 70% of parents, don't realise if their child is overweight or obese, basically because we see them day in, day out, every day, and it can be hard to appreciate it if they're put in on weight.
Yes.
So visiting your GP, getting accurate measurements done and put on the standardised growth chart to see if there is a problem. And then if there is, GP can organise basic blood tests to be done if needed, or just some simple diet and exercise measures might be all that's needed in the first place, as I said, especially if you get it early.
Yeah, and finally, how about some advice for parents that may be recognising these signs or trying to improve their kids' and family eating habits and that sort of thing? Have you got any little tips?
Yeah, look, I think parents are really good role models. If kids can see us eating well and sleeping well and exercising and looking after our bodies, I think that's a really big step. The second thing is make water their main drink. Really should probably be their only drink. And regular exercise and a good strict bedtime.
Yeah.
All very simple measures, all things we've heard before. But, you know, it really does make an impact in the long term if you set up those good habits early on.
Lana, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you for speaking with us.
No worries, Simon. Thanks very much for having me on.
Paediatric consultant for the Department of Health, Dr. Lana Bell, speaking with us about obesity and diabetes in children.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.